Club. So this shiur dedicated to the Ulu Nishmat, the soul of Karen Yamima Bat Avraham Avinu, should be raised in Shemayim to the highest levels. She died al Kiddush Hashem in Pigua on Wednesday. Pigua was on Wednesday, she died last night. And our learning should be as a chut amongst all of our Yisrael. Amen. We are in Sanhedrin, Kaf Vav, Amud Bet. We are 26b. We're about a third of the way down. Learning about, currently we're learning about the meaning of the word Tushia. The word Tushia was mentioned in the Sugya. The Gemara wants to know, well, what is this Tushia? So we had a few explanations. First one, we started yesterday. Amar Rabbi Hanan. Lama nekra shma Tushia. Why is it called Tushia? Why is the Torah called Tushia? Because it mateshet. It weakens the strength of the person. Tov helps us to be more humble. Devar acher, alternatively, we can say Tushia shenitna b'chashei mifnei ha-satan. It's called Tushia because it was given, the Torah was given in secret on account of the Satan. What does that mean? So Rashi says on that, Nifnei HaSatan, just a little less than halfway down the page of Rashi. Nifnei HaSatan, Shehu Matakreg, Makatreg, that he, the Satan, is the
prosecutor.
Prosecutor, that's a good word, thank you very much. He's a prosecutor, right? He argues against Am Yisrael. V'aman, he said, Tisapek le'elyonim, suffice yourself with the upper worlds. What does it mean? Let's finish. V'loyin seru haluchot, and don't give the tablets, the Torah, v'yad Moshe, through the hand of Moshe. The Satan said to Hashem, keep the holy Torah for the upper worlds. Don't bring it down here through the hands of Moshe. And presumably that was a good argument. So we had to do it in secret, so to speak, in order to avoid the accusations or the argument that it would be better not to give it to our man. We know that there's a number of midrashim about the fact that we don't deserve the Torah. We're full of bad midot, lie. We don't have truth. Hashem's Torah is truth, and we're really not fitting to be holding at that level, etc., etc. They're all very nice. They're all nice arguments. And Hashem says, "Yeah, nonetheless, I'll give it to them anyway." Top. Devar acher. Alternatively, another reason for why the Torah is called Tushia. Tushia devarim shel tohu she'olam mashutat aleihem. The Torah is called Tushia because it's composed of words which are of tohu, upon which the world is founded. Right, the world was founded on tohu, and the world was founded on the words of Torah. Tohu. Amar Ola. I'm not going into that. I really understand it. Amar Ola. Ola says, Machshava mo'elet afilu ledivrei Torah. Ola says, Machshava, thought, mo'elet, helped, or causes here, afilu ledivrei Torah. What does he mean? So, footnote says, Rashi says, Da'agat halev. Machshava means worries. Here means worries. Can mean thoughts. Can mean a few different things. Here Rashi explains that what types of thoughts we're talking about, worries. Da'agat halev, amazonotav shel adam, about parnasah. How are you going to eat? Fundamental things. You get worried and it causes you to forget your Torah. The person who's worried can't learn very well. It causes him to forget the Torah. Shnema, like it says in the Pasuk in Iyov, Job, Mefer machshavot alumim v'lo ta'asena yideihem tushia. He abolishes the thoughts of the clever, and their hands will not accomplish tushia. What does it mean? It means that he moelet. Hashem gives the Rashi explains, what does this mean? Noten lehem mazonot, he gives them food, right? Hashem gives Torah scholars food. Vatel machshavato milibam, and he cancels their worries from their heart. Shelo ayu menichin otam la'asot tushia, that was preventing them from preventing them from learning, from making tushia, from obtaining the wisdom. Lashon acher, alternatively, machshava she'adam machshev kach v'kach, ta'aseh kach v'kach, ta'aleh bi'idei bi'adi mo'elet lahashvit hadavar she'en machshavato mitkayemet afilu devar Torah kagon ha'omer hadyom ploni esayem kach v'kach masetot v'giris. So I think the first explanation we'll have to suffice with, because I don't follow the second explanation. Top. Okay. Amar Rava. Rava said about these words of Ullah. Im asukim lishma eino ma'elet. If a person learns Torah lishma eino ma'elet, it doesn't cause him to forget. Im ma'elet, it's all a bit backwards, because ma'elet normally needs to help. Right. So, but here doesn't cause a forgetfulness. If a person learns Torah lishma, you won't forget it. Shneema, how do we know that? Rabot machshavot levish, atzat Hashem hitakum. Many are the thoughts of man, but the advice, the counsel of Hashem will stand. What's that mean? Eitzah sheyesh ba'devar Hashem hitakum lolam. Means the Eitzah which has in it the Dvar Hashem. It means it's Lishma. Hitakum. That's what will stand. So even though the Rabot Machshavot Lev Ish, even though there are many thoughts, meaning many worries, in a person's mind, Atzat Hashem Hitakum. Atzat Hashem, the Torah is called an Eitzah. The Torah is called Eitzot. The advice, the Torah, the learning will stand if it has Hashem in it. Tov. Okay. End of that sugya. Regarding, I don't even know what we just learned. What did we just learn? What was the whole inyan that we just learned up to there? It was about Shvi'it. Mm-hmm. We learned about Shvi'it gatherers. This was in the section of Shvi'it gatherers. But the whole Indian is people who were suspected of wrongdoing, not being able to form a minyan, not being able to be witnesses, not being able to be judges. Right? When the sugya dealing with, the mishnah dealing with, being prevented from being a judge, being prevented from being a witness. We saw you can't be in a minyan. If you're wicked people, you can't be in the minyan. You can't be counted in the quorum if you're wicked. So, I think that was the ikar of what we were learning there. Are we stopping for a tikkun kali break or? Oh, you're doing wrong. See you know, the breath of the Shiva, people could stop and just say Tikkun Kai. Okay, back to the Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Amar Rav Yehuda, Kastalad, where's our Mishnah? Long time ago. At the end of the Mishnah, we learned in the Mishnah that dice players, Masek the Kubiya, apostle, Ahod. Right, so, yep. Right. So at the end of the Mishnah, Rav Yehuda qualifies it. Amar Rav Yehuda, Ematai, when? Are we talking about? Is manchi ein lahem umanot elahu, when they have no other trade, no other business, other than playing dice, gambling. Vayesh lahem umanot shelohu, but if they do have another profession, which is not this, kasherim, they're kosher, they are allowed to be witnesses. So that was Rav Yehuda's qualification, his clarification.
Didn't we cover this before, saying that the profession has to be a benefit to society?
That's why they're kosher. If they have some other benefit to society, then one explanation. Still, maybe, because there's still an explanation about why, whether or not we consider them trustworthy for being a witness. So if they're only gambling, then they're only interested in making money and taking other people's ill-gotten gains.
That's why I said when they wanted to do tshuva, they had to break their dice.
Uh-huh. Top. But here we've just got a short piece, very short piece. So what are we saying about this? Amar Rabbi Abahu, Amar Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Abahu says in the name of Rabbi Elazar, Halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. A halacha indeed follows Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda who said, when are dice players pasul? Only if they don't have another job. Kahalacha, that's halacha on that. Right, we do follow that opinion. Wonderful. Amar Rabbi Abahu, Amar Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Abahu also said in the name of Rabbi Elazar, Kulan tzrichim chachaza beveitim. All of them need chachaza, declaration, proclamation, beveitim, in a beitim. What does that mean? Means that all of them, you have to be announced to be hachrazot beveitim. Rashi says, "Ve'einam nifsalim le'edut ad sheyichuzu beveitim lehodia pusulan," and they're not disqualified from edut until they are declared in the beitim to that they're known to be possible. What are we talking about? So we're talking about this list of people. That actually, it's not as simple as we thought. If you're a dice player, you are, in fact, we're now learning, permitted to be a witness. Unless it's been announced in Beit Din that Plony over there, of such and such an address, is a known dice player, and will not be, his testimony will not be accepted in this courtroom, in the court. But if it's been announced in Beit Din, but until it's been announced, his testimony is accepted. Footnote tells me that's only the case with these rabbinic additions to the disqualified list. Those who are disqualified deraita from the Torah don't need this place, don't need the hachaza. If you are a relative or you're a thief, the fiat Torah, you don't need to be announced in Beit Din. Your testimony is invalid, the Torah says. It's invalid. But the ones that the rabbis created later, the additional categories of disqualified people, so those people do need to be announced in Beit Din if they are going to be disqualified. And until they do so, their testimony is accepted.
So, how do they do it in sequence? Is it they give evidence and the Beis Din asks them their background?
Oh, I see.
You know, for determining what, you know, the basic, you know.
I guess. So you're right. Could be that in the actual courtroom, if one of the parties doesn't like the other guy's witnesses and tries to find a reason for their disqualification, so you could say, this guy that you want to bring on the stand, he is a known dice player. Might be that the bait didn't then investigate, and if it's true, the bait didn't announce, he's no good. Or my thought wasn't that. My thought was that regularly the bait did just make a list, post up on the board. These people are, from our research checking, these people are not allowed to be. It was also a deterrent. But we don't. These people are considered to be not kosher for witnessing. Try and stop people. So it wasn't just reactive, it was proactive. I think, I don't know.
Yesterday we were we'll stay up for short years. He has to
an accidental murderer.
Yeah, and he murders a second time, he has to move to another part of the or anywhere, I guess in the Emirat Glad, if they want to honor him, he has to announce that he's a Rosh Hashanah. He has to stay. You're asking me to be your rabbi, but I'm a murderer. Here I'm serving a sentence here.
Right. It's on him to declare.
What?
It's on him to declare himself. These people don't have to declare themselves. In fact, they can carry on hiding until they're exposed and baited. They can even give witnesses and be a witness. You don't have to admit it. Okay, so that is the ruling by Rabbi Abahu and then Rabbi Elazar. Now, the herders, the cattle herders that we spoke about, we're bringing them back. Ro'e Kligei Ba, Rav Acha v'Ravina. Regarding the herders, there was a dispute between Rav Acha and Ravina. Chadama Ba'e Chachazah. Chadama Lo Ba'e Chachazah. One said, cattle herders require this declaration in advance, and then pass away. But remember the cattle herders. What's the rule? If they're herders of sheep, they're pasul completely. If they're herders of gasa, cows, they're pasul only if they graze, but not if they are raising them. So anyway, these herders, it doesn't say which type of herders, so presumably it means both. One says they require a declaration, the other one says they don't require a declaration. Why? What's the difference? So the law, why not? Lo ba'ei chachazah, Rashi says, she ha'avera shelo for semet l'kol. Their avera, so to speak, it's not really technically an avera, but it's their wrongdoing. Yeah, is known to all. Like people know. You don't need to announce it. Right? So the one who says that you don't need to announce is because, so what do you know? Dice players might not know that they play dice. But herders, according to one opinion anyway, you do. The other one says no, you still need to announce it. Mara says about that dispute, B'shlomo l'man d'amar lo bei chachazah. It makes sense, it's good, it's understandable, according to the one who says that they don't require proclamation. Why? Hainu d'amar Rav Yehuda Mara, because this is what Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, what we learned earlier, Sam ro'eh pasul. Right? Sam ro'eh is considered to be pasul. If that's true, I mean, it is true. Therefore, we can learn from that, it makes sense, according to the one that says you don't need a proclamation, they're pasul. Sam ro'eh is pasul. What do you need to give them a proclamation for? Ela lamanda ma ba'e chachazah. But the one who says they do need to be announced, my Sam ro'eh pasul. How does he deal with the Tanaic statement that a Sam ro'eh is pasul? Right? Why do you need to announce if they're already pasul? Answer: the bisama machrizinan aleya. What does it mean? It means sama machrizin aleya. We make a proclamation stand against him. What do you mean? It means the stammer, their stammer pasul means that if you know of a herder, then the court will make a proclamation against him stam, even without knowing whether or not he dafka is one of those grazers of on other people's lands. or not. Like the other ones, they have to investigate. But Rav Yehuda Marev says, Stam Ro'eh Pasul, all herders pretty much. Stam Ro'eh, unless you know otherwise, he is considered to be someone who grazes his sheep, or his whatever animals he has, on someone else's land. And therefore, it fits in also with the one who says you need to announce, because he then understands that the announcement is Stam, is that's what's automatically Pasul. You don't need to investigate. You can make an announcement against him as a Stam Ro'er Pasul. Okay? Good? Yeah. Next, Ahi Matna, Matana. It was a gift. The Havu Chatimei, that had signatures Aleya on it, right? On the gift, not on the gift itself. You don't write on the teddy bear, but you write on the, you need a document to give a gift. If you want it to be binding, you need a kinyan, right? Otherwise, it's not binding. I can take it to the top. There's different ways of making a kinyan, but one of them is writing, right, if I want to give you some land, or I want to give you something valuable, I'm going to write a document to ensure that everybody knows it's yours, and you can prove it's yours. How did you get that? Oh, he gave it to me. Oh, yeah, right, he gave it to you. No, I've got a document that shows that he gave it to me. See, look, I've got, so they would give a document that says that this now belongs to you. You may even know it's a gift.
That's where the check is.
Huh?
That's where the check is.
Where the check is?
Check, the bank check.
Mm-hmm. But you don't need two witnesses. So here we have two witnesses.
Sometimes
you need two. Go on. Okay, you can decide how many witnesses you want to check. Two partners. Two partners. All right, two partners, two, right? Yofi. So here, Ahi Matana, Dahavu Khatime Allah, Train Gazlin. So here there was a gift document that was signed on it to robbers, right? Robbers here, people who are halachically from the Torah forbidden to be witnesses. They're counted as witnesses, right? A witness on a document is the same category as a witness in the court. They're both witnesses. Right, so you can't be, when we say you're not allowed to be a witness, it also means you can't be a witness. It doesn't mean just mean that you can't be a witness in the court. It means you can't be a witness on a, not valid to sign, can sign it, but it's meaningless. You may as well get a monkey to sign it. It has no, halachically doesn't stand. Okay, so what happened? So it happens, people don't know the halacha. And you're Reish Lakish, and you want to give a gift to your mum. Right, and who are your friends? You get two of your friends. They happen to be robbers. So, I didn't know the law yet. What am I going to do?
How is it? When the robber is stealing, now you're clear.
Yes.
You have to prove that you're stealing.
You've got to prove this. If you want to take him to court and get it back, you have to prove it belongs to you. Like anything. Like anything, yeah. Whether you did it on purpose or an accident, whatever. If it's something that you says belongs to you. The possession is 9/10 of the law is a Jewish idea. Right? You don't take the property out of the hands of the person who's holding it unless you've got proof to the contrary. Right? It's in his hands. Svara Papa Bar Shmuel. Lach Shure.
When you find, let's say, 200 check in the door, the person comes inside the door. Understand? It's not proof. When it's in the wallet, it's different.
Right. Nachum, but that's like Shabbat Aveda. You don't have to return something that's not identifiable. It's just money. It's got no. It depends if it's a certain amount of money, but. Money stamp usually isn't identifiable, and therefore it doesn't have the law of return. So, unless it was bound up with something. Svarav Papa Bashmuel, well, Papa Bashmuel actually wanted to make it kosher. Why? Tahalo achuzinan alehu, because these people were never officially proclaimed in court to be invalid. Right? Rav Papa Bashmuel thought that this law that you need to declare people invalid in court in order for them to be invalid applied even to Torah prohibited disqualifications. Right? He was wrong, but he thought. Savor, he thought that that's what you should do. Amale Rava, but Rava said to him, Nehi de Be'inan Hachaza Begazlan de Rabbanan. You're right, we do require declaration in a Gazlan de Rabbanan, where it's a rabbinic theft. But Gazlan de Raita, Mi Be'inan Hachaza, but this is not a rabbinic theft. These guys are mamash stealing according to Torah law, and therefore they don't require announcing in advance. Shalom Rav Elazar, Boker Tov. Yofi.
Thank you.
Welcome. Kaf Vav, Amud Bet.
You missed something.
Sorry? You said Rav Abahu Amar B'Shem Rav Elazar. What did he say? He said something important. He said, Kulan Tzurichem Chachvazah. All of these, we did a list of the people who are disqualified from being witnesses. Rav Abahu says, and then Rav Elazar, they have to be proclaimed in court first. You don't
they
make Hachvazah Beit Din. But in law, then they're kosher.
What the court before?
Before to say that they're passels. If the court don't say they're passel, we accept them. But only the rabbinic list. If it's the writer, we don't need that.
What?
Top. Where are we now? Siman. What to the Siman? We are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines down in the wide lines on Kaf Vav Amud Bet. Towards the end of the line, two dots, Siman.
Did we cover the Rashi in the last part?
Did we cover the Rashi in the last part? Let's have a look. Gazlan Rabbanan, like taught in our Mishnah, Gazlan Doraita, Kotef, Amash. So Rashi gives an example of what's a Gazlan Doraita. So Rashi explains what it means. So he says that first of all, he gives Gazlan Derabbanan, because this is the first time we've come across in our Mishnah the concepts. We've been working on the same concept, but we haven't actually approached it in the words. So this is the first time that Gemara actually makes a distinction between rabbinic theft and a Torah theft. So Rashi explains now at this point what they are. Gazlan Derabbanan. Hanach de Matnidna, the Matnitin. That's what we taught in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah was an example of rabbinic theft. Dice players, pigeon racers, etc., etc. People who graze on other people's land. Rabbinic theft. Gazlan Doraita, what's a Gazlan Doraita? A theft from the Torah. Hachotef Mamash, someone who snatches Mamash. Thank you very much. That's right in front of you. You have to say, not stealing behind your back while you're not looking. I'll take your watch, right? But thank you, right? He's a Hamas, right? We said the difference between Hamas.
They're coming
in your face and doing it.
Yeah,
Hamas, right? Because of stealing. Stealing your light with force in your face. Right? Okay, so that's rabbinic theft. Kugon, for example, Benayhu Ben Yehudaya. Right? Benayhu Ben Yehudaya, who was of Abraham. You are Tanakh man. Who's Benayhu Ben Yehudaya?
Was connected to David Amelech.
David Amelech. He was the office, he was one of David Amelech's men.
Yeah.
Nachon? But yeah, he was the one that he sent him to go and do stuff with the enemy, Nachon?
To do stuff with them.
Yeah, he went to pretend that he was actually working on the, I think, on it.
Maybe he was in charge of the treasure or something like that.
Look, is he in the footnote here?
Remember something like that? Nayab in your Yada. That he was in charge maybe on the treasure, like he mentioned. Maybe even he stole the spear.
And he stole the spear from the hand of the Egyptians.
Egyptian. What?
What he stole from the Egyptians?
A spear. From the it says in Shmuel Bet.
You
got the English version of the cooker?
That would be good.
Shmuel 2, what's the reference? 23, 21. 23, here we go. Benaihu, son of Yehoyada, Hodah, was a valiant man of many achievements.
What?
Yes, English doesn't make sense. He was a strong man with many, did many good things. I'll translate the English. He was from a place called Kabzeel. He killed two commanders from Moab. He also went and killed a lion in the middle of a well there on a snowy day. He also killed an Egyptian man, a man of big stature, big guy. In the hand of the Egyptian was a spear, and he, Benaihu, came down upon him with a stick and stole the spear from his hand of the Egyptian and killed him with his own spear. These are the things that the Benaihu son of Yehoiada did, who was well known amongst the three mighty men of David, right? He was more honored than the 30, but he did not compare to the first three. And David set him as a confidant.
And he wasn't
so we learn from here.
Wasn't in charge of the treasure?
I don't know. It doesn't say over here. I might have to read the rest of the book to see it. But he.
Okay. Stealing
the spear. Ruikat ish esri Hashem v'mosri chanit v'yared al b'shevet v'yigzol et hachanit miyado v'yigzol. So the passage uses the word Yigzol Gazlan. Gezel is used over here in reference to Benaihu when he took the spear out of the hand of the Egyptian. So we see from here that if you're going to take a spear out of an Egyptian, of someone's hand, it's in their face. They're going to know about it. They're holding it at the time, right? So Gezel is, when we say Gezel, it's talking about that type of theft. It's not talking about theft where you hack into someone's bank account while they're asleep and siphon off the money through PayPal, right? That's not gezel. Something else, it's geneva, it's a different type of theft, but it's not gezel.
He killed him with his own sword.
He took it first. He did both. But he said gazel et a ramas, whatever, et a ramah, right? He doesn't say ramah, but same thing, I don't know what the word is, but.
He gave it back.
Here you go. Sorry, I took this from you. Here, take it back. So it wasn't theft, he gave it back. Right, but even if you give it back, so. Anyway, we can discuss that. Was it really theft? He gave it back. Sorry, this is yours. Okay, so we learn anyway from here. So it actually says an example of Seth Midoraita. Dichtiv, and he brings the passage from Shmuel Beth over here. Vayigzol et ha chanit, uses chanit here as a spear. Miyat ha mitzri. Hachi mefaresh the truma. This is how it is explained in Perek called Truma in Bava Kamma. My Bava Kamma over there discusses theft. So if you look at Bava Kamma, it gives over there the source which it brings over here. Top. Wonderful. Anything else on the Rashi? Is it? Top. Let's move forward. Yes, back to our siman. We now have a siman. Gemara occasionally gives mnemonic devices to help you remember the sugyas. So here the siman, the mnemonic device is Davar Varayot Ganav. So we've got three stories now. First one is about a Davar, whatever that Davar is, we're going to see. Second one's about Arayot, forbidden relations. And the third one's about Ganav, Feth, different, that's the other type of Feth. Arayot, forbidden relations. Okay, Amar Rav Nachman. So this one is the first one about Davar. Ochle Davar Acher Pusulin Le'edot. Someone who eats Davar Acher is disqualified from testimony. What's Davar Acher? So let's look at Rashi. Ochle Davar Acher. Mekable, this you wouldn't have thought, right? This is why, often you'll see why, the Gemara here is using a euphemism. Particularly because this is a. You don't want this publicized to the world because people can misunderstand, take it wrong, argue, cause problems. So it's written in a.
I didn't hear you.
So we're going to see here the ruling about how it actually applies. It's not so simple, right? There is a qualification to it. So let's just see what it is. So anyway, ochli davar acher. Normally, davar acher is a pig. A pig, right? People who eat ochli davar. People who eat pig. So here the wrong translation is that people who eat pig are disqualified from being right. That's not what the true intent of the words are. Rashi explains what's the actual intent. Mekablei tzedaka min hanochrim. Someone who receives tzedaka from nochrim. It depends how you want to translate nochrim as well. Nochrim either means non-Jews completely, or it means idol worshippers specifically. Nochrim is sometimes used for Christians specifically. You'd have to look at modern day poskim as to who they decide how to understand the Rashi and how to understand this. Exactly who are you not allowed to receive money from? The Havei Chilol Hashem, because it's a Chilol Hashem. Mechamat sins, Mammon, Mechamat Mammon, Vahavei Lei Kerasha the Hamas. Hold on, huh?
Tzedaka.
When it's tzedaka.
So when you send them something.
If you earned it, no, you're allowed to earn money from them. I can work for a non-Jew, not for whatever the translation is, and it's not a problem. But to receive tzedaka, well, interestingly here, the Rashi doesn't seem to be what I'm expecting. The footnote says something different. The footnote says like this. And before we come back to the Rashi, the R-scroll footnote says, because they create a chilul Hashem by giving a false impression that Jews are not merciful enough to support their own poor. Since he sins for financial gain, he's similar to a thief and is disqualified. I don't know why he sins. Others explain he's disqualified because he accepts charity from idolaters. He indicates that he lacks a sense of shame, and therefore he is liable to testify falsely as well, because he doesn't have shame. But Rashi's words are Chilul Hashem Mechamat Mamon, on account of money. He's prepared to Rashi's saying much stronger than the footnote doesn't explain. Rashi's saying like this: person who accepts money from idolaters is creating a Chilul Hashem, and he's doing it on account of money. So he's now in that category of someone who will do something improper, play dice, graze, or whatever, on account of money. The money is more important than Chilul Hashem. Right? It looks bad, but I don't care. It's money. It's money, guys. We're talking money. But the Torah says you shouldn't accept money. You're here, but this is money. Right? So outgo the words of the rabbis. Outgo, right, Torah, law. Because it's money. Tachlis. He's giving me money. Yeah. Let's not be too strict and stringent in our chumras right now. There's money on the table. It's not kosher. That's what the rabbi said. That's what you have to abide by that. Yeah, maybe it's money. Top. So anyone who suspects of bending the rules on account of money, he's now subscribed. Bahavelei, because it's like he is Karasha de Hamas. It's like he's an evil person that steals it himself, right?
But there are major organizations that I know of that rely on Christian charity.
Tov, so we're going to see the rest of the sugya. It's not finished. That's the beginning of the sugya. So let's see further. So that's the basic rule, but we're going to qualify it. Hane mile, these words, what we just said, applies, but parhesia, aval, but sin alo, applies only in public, but not in private. The reason why we said he was disqualified is because it's a chilul Hashem. Chilul Hashem is something that happens in public. You don't get a chilul Hashem in private. You get an aveira, you get something that's not correct to do, but it's not called a chilul Hashem. Chilul Hashem is something that you do in public that desecrates Hashem's name. You can't, thank God, desecrate Hashem's name in the privacy of your own home, just you. You can do some terrible things, and you can go and burn in hell for a long time, but it's not chilul Hashem. So plenty of other things. Chilul Hashem is doing something in public. Other people see it, and it brings disgrace on Hashem's name because people see it, watches it. What's going on over here? Right? So that's quotes of Chilul Hashem. And it's the Chilul Hashem part that disqualified you. It wasn't the fact that you did wrong. People do wrong all the time, but we don't disqualify them from Eidut. But we disqualified this person because of the Chilul Hashem on account of money. So if you don't have a Chilul Hashem, meaning it happened in private, right? You were sitting in your office, and in came Mr. Christian, whoever he is, and put the wad of cash down and said, here you go, just between you and me. So fine. No Chilul Hashem. I'm not saying you should, but you wouldn't fall foul of this. You wouldn't be disqualified. You didn't create a Chilul Hashem.
But there's a potential that would be Chilul Hashem, because Mr. Christian...
Might go and tell everyone.
What?
Might tell everyone. Yeah, but you're right, but the Gemara doesn't worry about that. The Gemara says, if it happens in public, yes. If it happens in private, no. It doesn't say, but be careful, ..
So if you're part of a Jewish-Christian organization...
Well, hold on, what's a Jewish-Christian organization? No, so sorry, what's a Jewish-Christian organization?
ACC.
What is that?
Okay.
Oxymoron.
The Jewish Christian Center, which Jews in L.A. give tens of billions of dollars to, but there's no need to Jews in L.A., so they give all the money to the Christians and the poor Schwarzes in Los Angeles.
You're allowed to do that. The Torah allows you to give them, right?
I understand.
Actually, I was thinking.
You go to Torah scholars.
I was thinking.
You go to Torah scholars in struggling schools. It goes to Jacksons and the Joneses.
People who have their priorities wrong, it doesn't mean necessarily they're breaking Torah. It just means they have their priorities wrong.
I wasn't even thinking of that. I was thinking of another organization that our former fundraiser worked for after us. He was promoting. Jewish Christian, I forget the exact name of the organization.
Whatever, we don't want to hear it. Don't put it on the tape.
Yes. Can I do?
Currently, you can do it.
Yeah.
Is that also one of these weird places?
It's a guy with Kippah Shechuhah, I think.
And I don't think I want to know. Yes. It's and also don't donate. Yes. Also in Tavshil. Got it everywhere. So, okay, so
there's also Jews for you know what.
There's everyone is for everything. Top.
You name it.
Top. So we said we qualified it. We said these words that if you accept money from Nochrim, however you want to translate Nochrim, if you accept money from Nochrim, that you're disqualified from giving Eidut, only applies where it happens in public, but not in private. And not only that, even if it was given in public, we didn't say this, right? The rule of disqualification doesn't apply. Ella, unless the Ashale le'itzone b'tzina, only if it was possible that he could have received it in private. That he could have received it in private. Was it me?
Yeah.
But let's finish the last few words and then we'll explain what it means. V'kam mevaze nafshei b'parhesia, and instead here he degrades himself by accepting it in public. Aval lo efshale, but if it was not possible for him, chiyutehu, it's his livelihood. If it wasn't possible for him, there's a cooler, there's a leniency, you're like, it's still okay. What's he saying? Where he had no choice. If he had no choice, then he wasn't making a chilul Hashem on account of money. He was like, yeah, whatever, I don't care. Just give me the money, I don't care what's going on. And now this guy's suspect, right? We're not going to accept him in court to be a witness, right? Because he's choosing to accept money in private, which is going to in public, which is going to cause a hilal Hashem. And he doesn't need to do it. He could do it in private if he's able to earn either that money, meaning he can speak to the donor privately and say, look, publicly I'm not going to accept this from you, but if you want to give it me privately, that's fine very much. And the donor says, okay, fine, I understand, I can be in private. Then he's not allowed to accept it in public, and if he accepts it in public, he's disqualified. But if he goes to the donor and says, look, it's not appropriate for me to accept this money in public in this big award dinner ceremony that you've made for yourself. Can we just do this in private? Right, if you want to give it to me, I'm happy to accept. But, and the guy says, no, if I'm going to do it, I want to do it in public. So there's an argument from here. You're allowed to accept it. You're not going to get it any other way. Or it doesn't mean that. It means that's the only way you can get money to live on. Meaning, if you can't get money from anywhere else other than in public, that's your livelihood, then it's fine. What does it mean? It means that you have to go and stand in the queue to the non-Jewish donor and get a handout. It's very embarrassing, it's a big chilul Hashem that this Jew has to go and get a handout from a non-Jew. Why? He can't get it from his own people. So you're not allowed to do it. Ah, yeah, but if that's your chiyut, if that's your livelihood, you've got no other way of getting money. So then that's what the leniency is here. The leniency is that you are allowed to do it in public if it's your livelihood. But then, and the footnote points out, but then it's probably pikuach nefesh anyway. Pikuach nefesh. You're allowed to...
All the money belongs to us. So keep only that what belongs to us.
I don't know if all the money belongs to us. All the money belongs to Hashem. Hashem decides to give it to us. It doesn't belong to us necessarily. Belongs to Hashem. Hashem can give it.
Yeah.
Hashem can give it to us.
He lost it because we're not from Hashem's state, so he's going to lost it.
No, but even when we were keeping Hashem's Torah, at those times in the we had money and everything was good, like King Shlomo. But other people still had money, didn't mean it was our money, it was their money. Hashem gave them also money to do whatever they need to do with it.
No, but holiness comes in.
Nachman writes that there is a holiness money is given a holiness when it's in the hand of a Jew that doesn't have in the hand. Right? That's why they want to take our money, because it has holiness.
Right? But
has what?
The holiness come back and you have consent.
Doesn't mean it, it doesn't necessarily belong. They're allowed to have money. Hashem created them, they have to have a livelihood. They're not meant to be slaves.
No.
So they have to have a...
We carry the Rashi and anything else? As we can say a few minutes.
No, I think that's... Let's have a look. Right, Tosfot says, don't say, you can't say, Tosfot, the third Tosfot on the page, says, Ochlei Devar Acher, Sulin Eidot. Person who eats the other thing, right, is forbidden. Tosfot says over here, Leika Dorufushe Ochlei Devar, you can't say over here, that the explanation of ochle devar acher, that the explanation of eating the other thing, the hainu ochle chazir means eating pig. De'i ba'ochle chazir hachi miflig be'tzina l'far hesia. Because if it was talking about that, how could you make? Why would you make a distinction between whether it happens in public or private? The chigera me'ochel de'veulot le'teavon. It's no worse to eat. Eat it in public or private. Now, Rina la Kaman, the Pasol la Eidos, Mokol Inyan, Elenire, Kapeirosh Akutras, Dahaimba Kablai Tzadakamin, Hanokrim. Therefore, it seems that it's correct what Rashi says, that the meaning really is that it's talking about Tzadaka from Nokrim.